We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Well, welcome back to Sports Talk on this Friday, July 11th. Good start. Saints will have their training camp on the 22nd. First practice will be on the 23rd. They go to California on August 6th. Their last practice will be Thursday, August 28th of what they call training camp. Now it's time.
What do you call it?
Well, I mean, I never know when it's over, right?
Yeah,
that's like
fair.
When it's like
that's
this.
Fair.
The time.
Right, because the last like week before the season starts is not technically training camp.
Right. Yeah. So they play the Broncos on the 23rd, then they're off. I don't know. We haven't had a chance to talk to them. They're off on the Sunday, the 24th, and then it just says no access.
Yeah. It's like a bye week.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're off?
I think they just kind of get a week off like the bye week.
Well, they say off.
Yeah.
I've never seen no access.
I don't know, man. You're asking the wrong guy.
All right, time for the Triple Live. Colin, you want to go first?
I can get us started. I know that you guys were kind of previewing what we would do earlier, but I'm going to take us in a different direction. We're going to go to the NBA, where I love to talk about these contracts, the analytics behind these contracts. ESPN put out an article earlier today from someone with an analytical mind, Zach Cram, who took a look at who might be the first NBA player to make $82 million a year. 82 is significant because that would mean you're getting paid $1 million per game. And he thinks this is coming sooner rather than later. Obviously, SGA signed a deal earlier this offseason with his fourth year in 2031, 79 mil, just shy of it. So we're on the cusp. And he later in the article refers to who might be on the horizon for that. He looks towards the 2020 draft class. The two candidates.
Cooper?
No.
2020.
Sooner.
I'm sorry, 2020.
Way sooner. He thinks Halliburton could have been in the mix.
No way.
Don't think so anymore. Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Might be.
That's the correct answer.
That's it. He will be eligible if he continues with the path he has been these past couple of years for a four-year, $345 million deal. That'd put him at $86.25 million a game. I think there are a lot of players in the league that'd be worth that.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Don't the Pels have any.
I asked for $1 million of broadcast. They said no, the powers that be at WWL, so...
I'd give it to you.
Yeah. Okay. I'll hold you to that.
The money is so... It's just hard.
It's make-believe. It's
right.
Not real. It's
like we used to have a reaction.
Yeah.
Right? There was a... Now...
Now it just doesn't make sense.
You're numb.
There's an earlier part in the article where a decade ago the salary cap was set at $63 million,
right,
which is about $85 million adjusted for inflation today. But today, it's at $141, almost double what it should be if it was adjusted.
And every year, it becomes more and more lucrative to play professional sports in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And Texas.
Like, what a great recruiting advantage.
Right. Well, somebody talked about that. He went to, one of the reasons he went to Miami was that no state.
Yeah.
No,
well, Texas, you make your money.
Yeah.
Right.
How many? Is it 12? How many's on the team?
Players
the NBA?
Total?
15.
Yeah. 15?
Yeah.
That was a question was asked.
Yeah, you can have 15 on your active roster. But then they have two ways.
Talking text line. You, me or you, my friend?
I can go. Mine's a little broad, but I was watching tennis this morning, and you know, a few years ago, I don't remember, but they went to the all, or at least most of the major tournaments went to the Hawkeye calling the in and out calls, and it actually, they still yell it, but it's fake. It's like, you know, and if it's really far out, it's like quiet, like, out, and if it's really close, like out! But, you know, and it's topical because, you know, MLB, they're talking about the ABS or the balls and strikes review, football, they're trying to figure out ways to do like the robot line judges and whatever. And my take is that I hate it. My take is that, like, yes, if you're a purist of the game, you want these calls to be 100% right all the time. For me, I look at sports as entertainment. And one of the benefits of allowing human beings to call games is that they do make some mistakes sometimes. And you do have to kind of work that into the product. But like John McEnroe, for example, is calling these tennis matches. And you see these like really close calls, and they all just believe in this system now. So it's close, but you're like, ah, they must have got it right. But like John McEnroe, like his nickname was the bad boy of tennis. Like his claim to fame is I scream at umpires, and that's the entertainment value. I want to see the manager running out and getting in the home plate umpire's face because he missed a call, right? Like, I get it. That's, you don't want that. That's not what the league wants, but like, that's the fun part. And I've said this before, and I believe it, like, the chain gang did not take too much time. I'm okay with a little extra time added to games for the drama, for the entertainment.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
But you gotta have to have some, right? When do you stop? How much is too much technology?
Sure, but like the robot like line calls, we didn't need that. The chain gang, they're so good at their jobs already. They get out there fast.
They got the credit cards,
we're talking
man.
Like 30 seconds, and that's peak drama in the NFL.
I agree.
It's
I
like,
agree
oh, it's
that.
Inches. It's going to be so
Wait
close.
Till he
Let's
pulls
get the
chain.
Oh, he stretches it out. It's got one link. You know, and yes, occasionally you're going to have the line calls get it wrong, or like, you know, the Jadeveon Clowney hit in the Outback Bowl, that hit doesn't happen if we have the robots calling it, because they get the call right on the field and we don't get that moment. It's like the hit of the year, and his head
Lord.
Pops off his body. So that's my thing. Like, I think we should pump the brakes.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall.
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
On using robots to get all these calls right, and appreciate, like, part of the game is the drama, and you're taking that away. And it's, I don't know, like, tennis is already boring enough. I want the player to get mad about something. And now we're kind of losing that. And I don't know. I'm kind of pandering or like petering off on this take, but I don't like it. I want to see less of it, not more of it.
So I can't believe we're both going to talk tennis, but this. So I'm watching. I'm not even watching Wimbledon. So Djokovic loses. He was trying to win his 25th Grand Slam. Just some of these things just kind of jump out at you. 25. And so in the finals, it's going to be Jannik Sinner against Carlos Alcaraz. Am I getting those names right?
Yes.
Right? I don't know. I'm watching. I don't know their – obviously, I don't even know their names. And I'm going, all right, well, whatever. And I go, they played in the French Open final that lasted 5 hours.
It was a fantastic
match. And 29 minutes. Alcaraz was down two sets, three championship points mm-hmm. to come back to win. And my point isn't even that. I don't want to stand there. It's exhausting to me for 5 hours and 29 minutes to stand on the court. Don't swing the racket once. That's a lot to ask for,
right?
If you started at the Superdome and you just said, to heck with it, I'm going to walk. And you walked at a typical adult pace. For 5 hours and 29 minutes, you'd be at the Twin Span Bridge at Lake Pontchartrain. That's the time period of that tennis match.
You can run a marathon in five hours. Yeah. You should run a marathon in 5 hours.
29 minutes, yeah. Which, of course, is the longest French Open, but not the longest Grand Slam.
Well, the longest match ever was, I can't remember, the American, the big tall guy against the French guy. I can't remember his name. He went to Georgia. I'm losing track. But they had like a 56
and
game.
And a Grand Slam?
Yeah,
at
Wimbledon. Because they, at one point, I think it was at Wimbledon, because that was when they didn't have the fifth set tiebreak. So it could just go on forever. And it just happened. And it was like over 3 days. I'll never forget that match.
We'll have to figure that, because I don't have that. What I have is the 2012 Australian Open, with Novak Djokovic beating Rafael Nadal in 5 hours and 53 minutes. For the love of...
So that was the final.
That was the final.
Yeah, okay. So the longest tennis match ever. It was John Isner and Nicholas Mahut. It was at the 2010 Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
why
yeah,
you
yeah,
no
yeah.
longer have the fits that can go on forever, right. because it almost did. The match, all told, was 11 hours and 5 minutes. It was played over 3 days. The score of this match was 6-4, 3-6, 6-7, 7-6, 70-68. It was the most insane thing. I remember I picked it
I
up.
Do
at,
remember that
I picked it up at like 26-25 in the second day, and I was like, surely it ends soon. It didn't even end that day. It was the most insane thing I've ever witnessed. And that's why tennis, you know, one other thing I'll mention, my favorite thing about tennis is that it's the only sport where they make the coach sit in the stands like a concerned parent. And they keep cutting to him. And he's just sitting there like stoic.
Right.
And there was a point where you weren't allowed to coach at all. They changed that. But it's like, hey, can you imagine like Sean Payton being asked to sit in the stands and be like, you can't yell at the team, Sean. They got to do it on their own. It's the weirdest thing.
Right.
But we're just like, yeah, okay, cool.
That's just the way it is.
We all know where they're sitting. Let's see how they react.
Every time. It's the girlfriend on the phone. Well, why is she on the phone? What is she doing?
Right.
Right. All right, take a break. That is the triple option. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Jeff. We'll be back after this here on WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.